We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. The book of Joshua, chapter number 3. Lodging at Jordan. Lodging at Jordan. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Thank you, our Father, for the mercy of God, for I am a great sinner. And mercy and the mercifulness of God can only be displayed upon a guilty object, so I sue for mercy today at heaven's court. And I pray, O God, that you would help me that I might be divested of any trust in any proposed professionalism or having done this so many times, think that I can do it again. For I have never done it once if it was done right. Have mercy, O God, on these people. I pray that you would curb inordinate affection, mortify the deeds of the flesh, excitement of the heart, titillations of the mind, bring them to a soberness as they look upon him who died to pay back that which he did not owe, who was required to empty himself and do so without one drop of the mercy for which I plead, to restore that which he did not take away. Give us a sober mind this morning that we might see Jesus. Lord, we're not here for religion or for religious practice. We're here to worship you, and we seek to do so in the Spirit of God and in the truth of the Word. So I ask again, my Father, that you would have mercy upon both speaker and hearer, and that you would exalt yourself and make us to see that everything in the Scriptures pertains to you and your glory. Yes. Grant that we might get away from Bible story mentalities and come, take off our shoes, standing on holy ground, and bow before King Jesus, I pray, for his great glory's sake. Amen. This begins a new chapter in the history of the children of Israel. They're going to cross over a body of water, and their lives are never going to be the same again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, as God speaks to Joshua. The issue in the book of Joshua begins with a great leader dying and a second leader being raised up to do a specific thing. Go over this Jordan. In John chapter 1, if you will, in verse number 17, the Bible tells us that the entirety of time and the entirety of the work of God is split up into two separate divisions, into two separate, and if this word don't scare you, dispensations. That don't bother me. I didn't throw out the baby with the bath water. Amen. Mr. Schofield don't scare me. I hope I could scare him. Listen, John chapter 1 and verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. Alright, got that? That's one. How many more do we need to make two? One more, alright. But grace for forgiveness and truth to give them understanding of an instruction as to what God did for them came by Jesus Christ. What has that got to do with Joshua? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8. Whose name is the only name mentioned in that verse? Jesus. But it wasn't Jesus. For if Jesus had given them rest, that is, back in the days of the temptation in the wilderness, is what this passage is talking about, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? That word Jesus there is accurately translated, because Joshua in Hebrew is Yoshia, Jesus in Greek. If I were to say John or Joe or Bill or Dave, there might be two or three men in here raise their hand, but you got to know which one you're talking about. It's the right name, but they should have translated it for the Hebrew, Joshua. So their names are the same. I wonder how that happened. Boy, what a coincidence that the second dispensation of Israel after they cross over this Jordan is to be by a man whose name itself is Jesus. But in the Hebrew, it's Joshua. So we understand that God divides up these various dispensations by the law and by grace and truth. And we understand that when God would give Joshua his challenge and give him his orders, in the first two verses of the book, he said, number one, Moses is dead. Number two, you're his replacement. And number three, get everybody over the Jordan. Chapter 3, verse 1, they're right there facing the Jordan. So this is a beginning of a new day. This is a beginning of a brand new time. They will never be the same once they cross over the Jordan and go into the land that God has promised for them. Dear soul, I know that this represents regeneration in the life of the believer. But would you let me take you one step beyond, maybe one step into that which you never have considered before, and let you understand this also represents your glorification, because in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. And when he shall appear, he's going to get appearance first. The head always gets appearance before the body does. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You ain't never coming back. Once God blows the whistle and time is no more, and time and space is folded up like a woman folding up her quilts after wintertime is over with, she opens her windows and springtime is here, she ain't getting them quilts out no more. Dear soul, once God has folded up time and space, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you shall be changed, and you will never, ever be the same again. This is, to me, it's that pertinent. This is that intense right here. And I want you to understand how it all started. Read your Bible on your knees, not looking at a clock. And it all begins with, and Joshua rose. It begins with the raising up of a new leader. This old, I submit to you that had not Jesus Christ raised from the dead on that new morning, you would not have the day of salvation that you have right now. The day didn't start with the cooks tinkling about with the pots and pans and pouring water in the big pot out there and setting it on the fire and all that kind of stuff getting started. And start with this one flopping their blanket out, you know, and getting all the dust or whatever off of it. It started with the leader having a resurrection. That's just nice that God just wrote that Bible like that one. Why did he do that? They are they which testify of me, Jesus said, John 5 and verse 29. Everything in the scriptures, he says, concerns me. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45. You don't read your Bible looking for Joshua. You read your Bible looking for Jesus. You don't read your Bible looking for doctrine. You read your Bible looking for the doctor. That's all it's about. All that other stuff will come with you, and then in the right place. But I've had the doctrine ahead of the doctor, and it like to mess me up. And I finally got it straight. Thank God. God finally got me straight. That's what happened. And Joshua rose early in the morning. Without the leader rising up early in the morning, this whole chapter and this whole event never would have taken place. It started when God quickened a man from the sleep of death and brought him into the awareness of his responsibility before God for that day. The sun was coming up. The day was beginning to encroach upon the night. The night, with all of its uncertainties and the death of sleep, was beginning to be overcome and replaced by the coming of a new day. The law was now going to pass away, and grace and truth was going to come, represented by the man Joshua. Where's the Holy Spirit dwell? He shall be with you and shall be... Ooh, if that ain't impregnating, I don't know what it is. You need... Listen, if the world wasn't so filthy, I could preach some stuff. Hello? That's reading the male and female was put forth like that for God to show you how he saves a sinner. Amen? Glory to God. Listen. In the end of the Sabbath, it's gone away. Brother Brad, it began to dawn towards a new day. The first day. Ain't nobody ever been saved like this before. God ain't never been satisfied before. Redemption never has been completed before. The Holy Ghost has never come to apply it before. This is a brand new day. And you know what happened? Joshua rose up. I'll meet him one day, but that ain't who I'm looking for. I'm looking for the one he represents. Listen. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchres. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Every time God moves, there's a great earthquake. Hold your place. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm just wanting to preach. I'm going to preach all over the whole Bible. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 25. See that ye therefore, that ye refuse him, not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that speaketh on earth at Mount Sinai under Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, that's Christ, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. At Mount Sinai under the law the earth shook. But their soul, under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavens shake. The demons and the devils are falling out of the skies. God is throwing them out for not paying their rent. The landlord's come and says, time to pay up, boys. And he said, I saw lightning, Satan is lightning fall from heaven. I believe Brother Jamie referred to that this morning. And their soul is shaking everything. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, false things that men have created and put together, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, when that kind of stuff happens, what does it mean that is going on? Verse 28. Wherefore, we, three words please. The kingdom of God is being established when God begins to shake. Amen? That's what this is all about. And I like these next four words. Which cannot be moved. and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he give out a wind. But he didn't blow the house down. For the house built on Christ, on the solid rock, when the floods ascended and the rains descended and the winds blew, the house built on Christ. I'm doing fine right here. It don't matter. Bring on Katrina. It don't make no difference. I ain't going nowhere. I'm established upon Christ. Isn't that good?
Yes, sir.
So this earthquake begins to happen. There has to be a physical earthquake to show you the spiritual earthquake. Anybody know what Romans 1:20 says? For the invisible things of Him, of God, of the person of God, are clearly seen. Wait a minute. What do you mean? The invisible things of Him are clearly seen. That is a contradiction. No, it ain't. Because faith evidences things not seen. If you can't see it, you need some faith. Listen. For the invisible things of Him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So God sent an earthquake on the day that He raised His Son from the dead to show you that we ain't going to stop till this whole earth is shaken down. All the monkeys are going to be shook out of the tree. And God is going to clean this thing up and bring you on into a presence of eternal glory. Ain't God good? All right, back to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord... The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. What are you doing rolling that stone back for? It ain't needed no more. But wait a minute. Didn't you say over in John chapter 11, if we move that stone away from Lazarus' grave, we all going to have to go get some room deodorizer because he stinks? Yeah, but this one, his body didn't see no corruption. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, nor my body shall see corruption. Psalm 16 and verse 10. This is a different man. This is a Jesus man. This is a Joshua man. This is a new day man. This is a man rising up to bring in something the world ain't never known before. This is going to be shaking down everything. And Moses and all the rest of that is dead. I'm talking about plum dead. I'm talking about graveyard dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I come to fulfill it. And dear soul, if you got Jesus on the inside of you, just like the Ten Commandments inside the ark, you got the Word on the inside of you and it will fulfill itself for you. Isn't that good? You know what? So old preacher told me one time, he said, love God and do what you want to. Man, you can't go around telling people that. Well, if you love God, you got a new want to. So you won't want to do nothing except what God wants you to do. And your problem is, you got to have a new want to. And so when Jesus fills your heart with His own person, you don't want to do anything but please Him. Ain't that good? And listen, an angel came and he rolled away the stone. He said, don't roll away that stone. By this time he's stinking. That's what they said about Lazarus. You can roll away this stone. There ain't no smell in there. Because, listen, honey, they've not one cell of his body died because he did no sin. Do you do realize that sinless beings live eternally?
Amen.
What kind of life you got? I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Isn't that something? Well, you say, I may die physically. That's bad as it gets. That's bad as it gets. If you're born twice, you won't have to die but once. Right? And so he rolled back the stone. Why are you rolling back the stone? You want us to help you get him out? He's already gone. He's already gone. Listen. And when was it? It was when the dawn began to break. At the end of the Sabbath, Moses, my servant, is dead. The end of the Sabbath and dawn, early in the morning, Joshua rose up. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now, ladies, right there is where you ought to give a loud amen. Because all the men that was there for duty died. Or was as dead men, but all us ladies that was there seeking Jesus, we were given grace from heaven to fear not. Isn't that good? God is approachable, ain't He? Listen, verse 6. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And so we see that there was a new day. It was a day that began early, and it was a day that began with a leader rising up, and it was a day of His resurrection. And there's so after that, Moses, my servant is dead. Now rise up, Joshua, and take his place. And Joshua rose up. And there's so, listen, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 9. Here's where God changed gears. Here's where God pushed in the clutch, stuck it up into another gear. And kept on trucking and let it keep on rolling. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 9. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Who's talking? Christ is talking. I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that He may establish. It ain't never going to be moved. Establish the second, and He don't ever mention no third. These folks looking for a millennial out yonder, the bus is going to be gone before they get to the bus stop. You're living in the gospel millennium, dear soul. So the first was taken away. It served what it's supposed to. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Nothing wrong with the law. I'm fixing to tell you in Romans 8, why the law had to be done away with. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy and just and good. It's still wrong not to steal. It's still right not to steal. It's still right not to kill. The law is good. It's just and holy and good. Nothing wrong with it. What was the problem? Romans 8:3. It's still right, dear soul, not to kill and to steal. But here's the problem. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So those people who are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, are not those moralists trying to do something so that they can stay right with God. It's those guilty, forgiven sinners who have been given mercy, and the Spirit of God in them causes them to walk right before Almighty God. For what the law could not do, here it is in verse 3. What was the problem with the law? Why did Moses have to die and Joshua had to come on? For what the law could not do, in that it was, you read it, weak through the flesh. The problem with the law was me. And the problem with the law was us. We couldn't keep it. Gave us one law. Don't touch that tree. That's it. No big deal. You got everything. But I want what I don't have. That's the way it is, ain't it? Always want what you ain't got. Yeah. Yeah, that's like that woman in a new Corvette crashed into the back of an 18-wheeler looking at a Rolls Royce. Always want what we ain't got. Dear soul, listen, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, and we're stuck right there. We're stuck on the other side of the Jordan. We're stuck with a law that we can't keep. We're stuck with old smelly, stinking, aggravating, fly-infested sacrificial system. Blood all over the place. Entricles. Manure. It is rotten. It stinks. The valley that we call hell, we use that word for hell now, was where they put all that junk, all the carcasses. Gehenna. It's awful. for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. We're stuck. Next part says, but God, sending His own Son. Be careful right here now. You might need to take off your shoes. You especially need to take your hat off and bow your head. In the likeness of sinful flesh. Oh, my soul, I've got to bow down. Oh, I've got to repent again. Oh, I've got to apologize again, Lord. What was that verse Brother Jamie read this morning, Hebrews 2:14? Through death, He destroyed him that had the power of death. Because the children had taken on flesh and blood, He Himself likewise took on flesh and blood, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death. He had to succumb to that which was the problem as if it was His own.
Right.
He had to pay back that which He didn't take away. How would you like to be put in jail for something you didn't do, and you know you didn't do it, and now that you're out, they're going to make you pay it back? You didn't steal it. Don't be talking about yourself and how pitiful you are. God gave you that opportunity to show you how great Jesus was. You ought to be taking that experience and say, thank God, I know how Jesus felt. That'll help me worship. If we could get out of these pity parties around here, we could get to Christ.
Amen.
Listen, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's not the way the first Adam was made, but it was the way the last Adam was made. And for sin did what? Condemned sin. Alright, in verse 1, who is not condemned? Read it. It's open book text. Them which are in Christ Jesus. Wow, that was hard, wasn't it? All I had to do was read verse. Alright, in verse 1, those who are not condemned are those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, what is that that is condemned in verse number 3? Say it again. That's it. It's a new day. I ain't condemned no more. Why? Joshua rose up. He tore the bars away. Death could not hold its prey. He was not guilty. Satan went after one too many sinners. He was not a lawful captive. Satan grabbed him anyhow, and when he grabbed the wrong man, he's going to have to pay for that death. But that death was not like any other death. That was Christ, the mighty Maker, dying. How does life die, Brother Tommy? I don't know. But He did. But the infinite magnitude of the glory of that death, Satan can't ever pay back. And neither can me and you. And the infinite magnitude of that death, because He was God dying, now it's like a credit card wherein all the children of Israel get in free on His ticket.
Amen.
That's good preaching. I don't care what you say. That's good preaching right there. Listen, listen, listen at Joshua chapter 3. Listen at Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed for Shittim and came to Jordan. He, and read me down to the next comma. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and
all the children of Israel.
How many?
All.
And what were they?
Children of Israel.
How you get to be a child? Ah. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. John 3, verses 3 and 5. So if the angel comes and shakes everything and starts a new day, and the earthquake hits and the whole thing begins to open up and we are receiving a kingdom, dear soul, then Joshua here, he ain't going across unless he carries all the children of God with him. Ain't nobody going to be left behind. all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Why don't you come on in today?
Amen.
If you don't, it's your own fault. Glory to God, Joshua rose up early. That's what started. Joshua got out of his bed that morning. I don't know. I kind of think about an army cot, tents, and all that stuff. That's just the way my mind is. I don't know what it was back then. It may be some kind of mattress with pine straw in it. I don't know. But I think about the creaking of that old army cot when he got up on it. You know, what a sound. It was the sound of a man rising up, sleep, and wiping sleep out of his eyes and beginning to stretch and get his limberness back and beginning to get himself ready for the brand new day. But it's not just a brand new day for Joshua. It's a brand new day from that point on for all the children of Israel. Thank God for Jesus Christ raising up from the dead. Dear soul, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, if Jesus Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain. If Jesus Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. If Jesus Christ be not risen, we have no hope of any life. We're still captive under the law. But thank God, part of the gospel is Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, you rise up and take these children across the Jordan. And that's what he's doing right here. Isn't that good? Man, that's good and snuff, ain't it? Listen, and I want you to know something else. Not only was that today that Moses died, the law can't condemn me anymore. Listen, sin has been handled, but also Joshua has raised up the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third thing that happened prior to this was in Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 1. There's a woman mentioned here. And every time you read her name, nobody ever lets it go. It's always Rahab the harlot. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out Shittim, two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now the squeaky clean guys will try to, you know, clean her up. But dear soul, they also are those who are saved by works and not by grace. They're the guys that want the prodigal son to go check in the Holiday Inn and get him a shower before he goes home to the father. But bless God, I'm going to tell you something. When I came to myself and I found I was in the hog pen, I got out of there. I didn't care what I smelled like. I just wanted to get to God. I didn't fool around with religion trying to make me presentable. Excuse my English, or lack thereof. There ain't no good sinners. There ain't no clean sinners. There ain't no acceptable sinners. You're either lost and without God or you're saved. And that's all there is to it. We either stink in the nostrils of the Holy God, dead in trespasses and sin, and we are vile and putrid. Read Isaiah chapter 1. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, he said, we're one oozing putrefying sore. Excuse me, I ain't apologizing for it. That's God's word. Read the Bible. This one was a harlot. And that's where the spies went in. Look at chapter 6 and verse 25. Chapter 6 and verse 25. I preached on this back in 1970, something or other. 10,000 watt station in East Point, Georgia. It barely got out to the parking lot. And I grabbed that microphone. I said, "Hello, world." And I preached on Joshua saved Rahab. Now, in Hebrews 4:8, what was that other name that was transliterated from the word Joshua?
Jesus.
Jesus. That's what God showed me back in the 70s when God first called me to preach. And Joshua saved Rahab. I give you a nickel if you'll read me the next two words. Norm, would you pay them for me? Listen. And Joshua saved Rahab. Who did he save? Say it again. He couldn't save her no other way. Dear soul, what you need to do is come to Christ like you are. Because he sees you like you are. And if you start lying to him now, you ain't never going to get in. And if you ever do get in and you go back to that, you'll never know what it is to have the fullness of the Spirit, because you're going to have to confess yourself as absolute, realize, confess, bona fide sinner, diametrically opposed to God and all of his goodness and his glory. That's all I'll ever be, except Christ cleanse me up and let his righteousness abide on my behalf. And thank God he has. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household. I kind of like that right there. And her father's household and all that she had. Folks, all that you are and all that you have, God's not going to lose any of that. He's the one that made you to be that. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So when Joshua's is lodging there at Jordan, he is fixing to bring on a new day, a new dispensation, a new life for all of Israel. None are going to be left behind. For him to get there, Moses had to fulfill his responsibility, and now he's dead. He has done away with the first, Hebrews 10:9, that he might establish grace, the second. And in that time, not only is Moses put aside and Joshua raised up and rises up early in the morning, but there is a Gentile bride that is incorporated in with the brotherhood of Israel. Ain't that good? Matthew chapter 1. I told the Lord, one of these days I want you to give me a message on the begots. We just try to read through them old jawbreaker names. I'd like to preach on the begats one of these days, or the begots. Here's something God begot that's really good. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. He's the son of David because he's a king. He's the son of Abraham because he's the father of the faith. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac Jacob, Jacob Judas, and his brethren. If you think I'm going to read all them names, you out of your mind. Then verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and this is the only time that it don't say the harlot. Why? Because this is the lineage of Jesus Christ. What's the last word in this chapter? Matthew 1:25. What's the last word? That's who we're headed towards. And dear soul, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Guess what? Old things have passed, ED. Already passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm going to tell you something I've learned a long time ago. I don't care what they look like, and I don't care what they smell like. I don't care if they got money or ain't got money. I don't care what kind of situation they're in. If they love Jesus Christ, they're my brother and my sister. That may aggravate some of these high-minded preachers. But it don't. Listen, that's where I come from. Listen, we was the family that everybody had to help at Christmas time. We didn't even know what food stamps were back then, but if they had them then, we'd have been qualified. We lived in a federal housing project provided by the federal government. Still couldn't hardly pay the rent. We were so poor we couldn't hardly afford a grandmother. Listen, Matthew 1:5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And whose husband was Boaz? Wow. Isn't that amazing? Two Gentiles. Ruth was a Moabitess, and Rahab was an Amorite. And God said, I elected them in Christ before the foundation of the world, and I would have this one of mine elect, who's just as good as any of the rest of mine elect, come up in a heathen country with no gospel. Hello?
Yeah.
Living in the enemy territory. I'm going to put her right amongst those who have to fill up their iniquity. In Genesis 15, he said, Abraham, you and your children can't have this land for 400 years because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. She was living right there as one of them. She was inside of Jericho. She was opposed and stood in opposition as far as the nation was concerned to everything Israel was. But here comes Joshua. I think I hear that cot creak. He rose up, stretched. Y'all, wash his face. Get ready for the day. It's going to be a day like no other day. And on the first day of the week, there was a great earthquake. And it began to be the end of the Sabbath. And the angel rolled away the stone so he could have a chair to sit on. And he said, he ain't here no more. You know what y'all are doing? You're looking for the living among the dead. You're going to have to understand, we've got a new priesthood now. And since there's a change in that priesthood, there's a change in our relationship to the law. Read the book of Hebrews. It's all different now. It's grace, grace, wonderful grace, amazing grace. An unbelievable grace, mercy. God said, you know what? You don't know the thoughts that I think towards you for good. I said, tell me some of them. You don't know the thoughts I think towards you for good. Look at Calvary. Has God ever held anything back from you that you needed? Can you look at Calvary and say, he has delivered up his son for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Isn't that good? Here comes Rahab. Come on down. You just won the jackpot. Come on down. I'm going to save you. I'm going to save your daddy. I'm going to save your mama. I'm going to save your goat. I'm going to save your donkey. I'm going to save your wardrobe. You ain't even going to smell like smoke. And you know where she lived? On the wall of the city. Think about it. Seventh day, they march around seven times. They blow their ram's horns. They had silver trumpets, but God wouldn't let them use them. They blow their ram's horns. They shout, and the wall falls down, except one section. Is that you? Can you look back and see where your whole life fell apart? Except your soul. Can you see how wretched we were and how we deserved to die just like that man did over there with a big old chunk of the wall fell on top of him, even my neighbor. But 10,000 shall fall at thy side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Oh, dear sinner, Do you want Jesus today? There's a new day. There's a new Savior. It's everlasting. It ain't going to end. He's here at the Jordan. We're going to cross over. It's never going to be the same again. And it's going to be a Gentile bride incorporated in with the very humanity of God. Ephesians chapter 2. What was that Brother Jamie said this morning? We can't go to Hebrews if we don't turn left over here and go by Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:13. Make it 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being Gentiles, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We were in the world without hope and without God. I'll let you read the first two words of verse 13. Ain't you glad? That's Joshua rising up. You hear the cot creaking? You hear him stretching, yawning? You hear him bestirring himself and getting ready to bring every single one of the children of Israel across that river without the loss of one? And you know what? There's not even going to be any mud between their toes. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes, Brother Brett, I thought it wasn't ever going to end. I thought I'd die and go to hell. But God just said it was just sometimes. You know, I think about Lazarus waking up inside that grave. That's pretty scary stuff. But the prodigal woke up in the hog pen. And you know what? I didn't never want a new heart till I already had one. I woke up in sin. And God said, that's the best place for you. You won't ever argue with me again. You know that I saved you because I wanted to. And there was nothing you could have done about it if I'd have turned my back on you and walked away from you. I would have still been holy and just and good. I didn't have to save you to be good. I'm good because I'm God. But I saved you because of grace. So I left you in that sometimes. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He, get it folks, I'm not asking you to come to the Baptist. I don't want you to come to my doctrine. I don't want you to come to me. I want you to come to Christ. That's all that hung on that cross for you. Nothing except that which hung on that middle cross on Calvary's Hill is good for your redemption. Salvation is not in a program. Salvation is in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both Gentiles and Jews one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Do you see the walls of Jericho going down? Who was on the outside? Israelites. Who was on the inside? Amorites. What did God do? Tear the wall down. How many was left standing? Rahab! He tore down the wall that was between the Gentiles and the Jews, and He put them together and made them all one. And she became the great-great-grandmama of King David. Listen. I like this verse 15. Having abolished, next three words. And it's personal with Jesus. It better be personal with you. I don't care if your granny is praying for you. You need to pray for yourself. I don't care if the whole church is praying for you. You still one prayer too short. You got to pray for you. Ask and it shall be given. I dare you to ask. You're scared to ask, ain't you? You think you're too much of a sinner. Then that means you don't think Jesus is very much of a Savior. if a woman says, well, I'm going to use this stuff, but I don't think it's going to work, she might as well throw it in the trash can. Why'd you buy it if you don't think it's going to get the stain off the thing? Dear soul, that blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse all sin and all unrighteousness. Listen, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, the hostility, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, in order to make in himself of the two, Jew and Gentiles, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body. How? By the cross, having slain the hostility, the hatred, the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were not. Jews and Gentiles had to hear that inner voice of God, the Lord Jesus Christ preaching to their souls. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We're fixing to sing a song. We're going to sing a song, ain't we, don't? And it's not an invitation. You're hearing the invitation now. We don't want you to come to us or to the front of the building. Let's see. This front, well, to come in that way, it's the back. I don't know. But anyhow, we ain't asking you to come to anywhere to us. You need to come to Jesus. This is the invitation right now. It ain't the song ain't going to matter. It's what do you do with Jesus right now. It's just a little bit of time to give you to separate you from the world for about 3-4 stanzas before you have to get back out there and think about what God has said to you personally today. Listen. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which are nigh. For through him we both, Jew and Gentile, Rahab and Joshua, excuse me, I better use somebody else. I'm using Joshua, the picture of Christ. Rahab and all the Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. When Joshua rose up early that morning, Rahab's day was going to be different when that wall fell down from then on. It made a difference in Rahab's life. Dear soul, the reason that you're in a teetering wall condition is so that the Lord might show you His strength, that which He sustains don't fall down and don't wobble on the axle. God does it right. God does it right. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, we're talking about the church, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for what? For an habitation of God through the Spirit. God would inhabit you as a living stone, Peter says, and you will be incorporated into the organism of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who came by the Spirit in incarnation to dwell in the body of Jesus of Nazareth that was built for Him in that virgin, will also come by the Spirit to dwell in your body, in your body, in your body, in yours, in my body. And we will make up the entirety of the habitation of God. God would dwell not only with, but in His people. Isn't that amazing? Ain't God good to us? And dear soul, it all began with one man rising up early in the morning. It all started with one obedient servant of God standing in the gap, doing that which no other man had ever done. Moses was not allowed to even cross that Jordan. He had done what he could do. But in order for Moses' work to be blessed and completed and fulfilled, Joshua had to do what he had to do, and he had to have a day where he rose up in a new day and say, "Thy will be done, Lord." I wonder, do you have the courage? Will you rise up today for Jesus? Is the Lord calling you by His inner voice, by the voice of the Holy Ghost of God? Dare you, Christian, dare you, sinner, step forward and say, "Here am I. I'll stand for you, Lord. You stood up for me. I'll stand for you. Thy will be done in my life." Dear soul, I thank God today for Joshua rising up early and starting a new day so that this sinner, by the grace of Almighty God, could come and preach to all of us sinners and hear the voice of God among us again. Amen.